hold you 2-3 minutes to talk at the end of the meeting. Just like normal. Did you, you said you wanted to bring something up?
Yeah, let's get
not ready for that.
Thank you,
Apostle. Y'all have to forgive me. I don't feel too well today, but anyway. The approval of the commission of minutes. Driveway ordinance, scrap metal, property lease workshop of March 3rd, 2022. Regular meeting March 3rd,
2022.
Motion. Second. Motion. Jody, second from our office. Approval of the voucher.
There's one more. There's one more. Let me see here.
I read them both off, so we didn't do a move at the same time. You're talking about the March?
Yeah.
All right, approval of the regular meeting of March 3rd.
Motion.
Motion from James, second from Mr. Hatch. Now, approval of the vouchers.
Motion. Second.
All in favor? Can y'all hear who's doing these motions or seconds, or do I need to call them out?
On that last one?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice. Let them speak up, please.
See the motion to go in them. Love to hear.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
We have a petition by Russell Clausen requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exceptions of the Dixon County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an ESA zoning district in accordance with a petition dated 2/22/2022 to be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 02-10-13-4513-000C-0190 at 1189 Northeast 206th Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680. Commission District 2, W.C. Mills.
You had any opposition?
No, sir.
Is there anybody here to oppose it? Is anybody on the phone to oppose it? I need a motion.
Motion.
Somebody.
Second.
All in favor?
I have a petition by Daniel Benning requesting special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in the ESA zoning district. In accordance with the petition dated 2/23/2022, to be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 26-09-13-0000-4467-2100 at 261 Northeast 667th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680. Commission District 2, W.C. Mills.
Any opposition? Any opposition anywhere? Somebody make a motion.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
A petition by Terry Barnes and Terry Wilkes requesting special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, special exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an ag agriculture zoning district. In accordance with a petition dated 2/24/2022, be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 27-09-13-4357-0001-0250 at 485 Northeast 386th Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680. Commission District 2, W.C. Mills.
Anybody on the phone or anybody here? opposing it. I'd like to need a motion.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
A petition by Harold Carlton Jr. located on the property is described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 30-13-12-3610-0000-0040 at 427 Southeast 909 Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a variance for a reduction of side setbacks to zero for the construction of a 12-by-24 boathouse adjacent to parcel number 30-13-12-3610-0000-0030 by the petition dated 2/22/2022, which is located within section 4.7.7 RSF/MH subparagraph 2 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations in accordance with section 12.3 variance procedures. Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I have a petition by Mark Hines located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 30-13-12-3596-0002-0130 at 158 Southeast 218 Street, Old Town, Florida, 32680. To request a variance for a reduction of side setbacks to zero for modification of existing boathouse adjacent to parcel number 30-13-12-3596-0002-0120 by the petition dated 2/22/2022, which is located within section 4.7.7 RSF/MH subparagraph 2 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations in accordance with section 12.3 variance procedures. Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
No, sir.
Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Okay. Just so everyone knows, this name is Marsh Pines, not Mark Hatch. It's very, very close. I don't want nobody to think I'm voting on my own stuff. Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Motion
carried.
Petition by Charles Perry II, located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 19-13-12-2994-0003-3480 at 70 Southeast 893 Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a variance for a 30-by-40 open pole barn by the petition dated 2/22/2022, which is located within section 4.3.7 ESA subparagraph 1 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations in accordance with section 12.3 variance procedures. Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition? Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone? Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. CPA 22-01, an application by Jeffrey Tyler Coakley and Leslie Leon Coakley to amend the future land use plan map of the comprehensive plan by changing the future land use classification from agriculture, moderate density, less than or equal to one dwelling unit per 5 acres, to agricultural, medium density, less than or equal to one dwelling unit per 2 acres on the property described as follows. A parcel of land lying in Section 17, Township 9 South, Range 13 East, Dixie County, Florida, being more particularly described as follows. The north half of the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of said section 17, left the east 40 feet and the west 436.74 feet of the north half of the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of said section 17, containing 13.86 acres more or less.
Sir, I mean, real quick, this EPA 2201 right there, the application that Mr. Coakley and them have submitted, changing the density on that And so that's the constant agreement. And right now, currently, on that parcel of land, it's one house for 5 acres. This is up directly west from the rock pit. There was no opposition. There's no map printed off for you like I did this one right here. I know there's several of them. I'm supposed to meet you several of you individually on this one already. Questions that you might have.
The only question I got is when you go to 2 acre lots, the smaller the road has to be upgraded. If I remember correctly.
Road already there.
Is it a county road?
Correct.
And there's not, it can handle the traffic change and all that.
It doesn't make subdivision flat. It could just change that density zone so that he could proceed if that's what he wanted to do.
Okay.
I understand. There are two reasons on this layout or just one?
No, this is under 50 acres, so this is a small scale amendment. It stays here at the county level.
Good, okay, motion.
Second.
All in favor?
DPA 22-02, an application by Barbara Williams and Ronald M. Williams to amend the future land use map, use plan map of the comprehensive plan by changing the future land use classification from environmentally sensitive areas, very low density, less than or equal to one dwelling unit per 40 acres, to environmentally sensitive areas, low density, less than or equal to one dwelling unit per 10 acres on the property described as follows. A parcel of land lying in Section 1, Township 10 South, Range 9 East, Dixie County, Florida, being more particularly described as follows. The southwest quarter of the southeast quarter of said Section 1, containing 40 acres more or less.
Okay, so this is the same scenario with comprehensive plan amendment, and this is what this map right here is to illustrate and demonstrate. This 40-acre piece that you see right here, he is currently in ESA zoning one district. He's trying to change the density from the future land use from one house per 40 acres. He would like to take it to one house per 10 acres. Now, this map is colored like this for a reason. So this would be the same density as this yellow. That's what he's trying to achieve. It's also the same as what's in the green. This that you see in orange highlighted in this red right here is already a 5-acre tract on the map already. This other orange that you see right here was Gulf Forest subdivision that was approved in 2003 by the county commissioners for a 5-acre tract. Everything else in the green out here is a 10-acre tract now, and that's what they're trying to apply for. Does that make sense?
On that, those 10-acre partials that still will be, the roads will be the homeowners to take care of, not the counties? How does that work?
That falls into a different subject right there, if it's going to be busted into subdivision doing. There's a lot of controversy surrounding this right here. I know where it comes from, and I think it comes from the 2003 era when this land got busted up right here. This was busted up into 5-acre pieces, and it went through subdivision, flat, all the signatures. I think later on they discovered that if they went to 10-acre pieces, it would not require the full subdivision review because there's existing roads. They didn't have to put in no existing roads. The mistake that was made was they didn't change any of the maps. I don't know if it was just no one knew at the building department at that time, but we know that this had approval for this orange from the commissioners. It puts the building department in a unique situation. I've spoke about it in open meetings before because this is not a threat on our map. And so, but there's been hundreds of permits issued through here. You're talking 2,200 plus acres right here. And, all I'm here to do is present information to you. You get a vote on it.
Michael, do you know any on the guidance of that? Because I know if we got areas in the county that they permitted back when, say, along the river, you got a graded road going in there, and then you got a paved strip along the river. And they had to pave that to do the subdivision to that size lot. There's a certain size that you have to bring all the roads in compliance.
Let me give you the analysis.
There were two issues.
Okay.
One is a subdivision, and one is a density change on the comp map and the zoning map.
So I got you now. So if we do this and they got to go back and do the subdivision part, then it's going to come back. Okay, I'm good.
Any parceling of the property right now, you know, that's what happened right here. Is they read that, hey, we don't have to do a full subdivision review if it's 10 acres of different roads because it doesn't require subdivision review. And that's what happened.
Is there any county roads in that green?
No. Well, I don't know if we graded
it. County road in there, we're required to continue to maintain it. If there's not a county road in there,
so
we're not required to inherit county road.
Coming in right in here. This piece right here. I know that's marked private drive, a private road right there on the entrance. I can't answer for all.
Initially, the Dale Herring property down there, I've done a lot of work down there, and I have fixed it every time I go down there and I do work. Is that they had a stipulation that each property owner was supposed to give him X amount of dollars for road maintenance.
So that goes back to subdivisions and HOAs.
Right.
It doesn't have, it's separate from the issue that we're looking at here.
Yep.
As far as density. You're looking at a density. Currently, it's one house per 40 acres on the future land use map. The zoning map that I printed off right here shows one house per 100 acres, the ESA1. And that's what you're looking at.
Well, me personally, I really ain't got no problem with the 10 acres, especially being we got 5-acre pieces. 10-10's right beside it. It's already done.
We had several phone calls. We had 9 total that called on this. And this is, I knew it was going to be. That's why I printed you up there at UTC. And obviously down here, you know, this goes down towards Rocky Creek. And this is before my time, or part of our time. And some of it we can say, hey, there was a mistake made, and some of it we can say, no, they went through the full review and they signed off on it. And you would argue, say, well, why does the map reflect that? I believe it's during a time period that when the county done their own zoning here, they didn't have the software equipment or the training to know how to do that. And then when they turned it back over to the planning council after being a mess, that some of these approvals and zoning changes and density changes weren't relayed back to them. Any questions? Any questions from anybody out here that I could possibly show you?
We've got a 10-acre flat, right?
Yeah. All this in green is in 10-acre tracts. All this in orange right here is in 5-acre tracts.
Okay.
This that's in yellow right here, the CSA3, it's already approved on the zoning map for 10-acre tracts. Of course, you know, up here is Casey 7 right here.
Motion.
I'll second.
Do I get to speak before I can try to put myself on the agenda?
I don't have a problem with you speaking. Asking me my way.
Time,
I didn't do my turn before you were doing it. I didn't know you were
going
to oppose it. Because there's 9 people that called in to oppose it, and then there's another stand as well. So I'm on the agenda to speak.
My job is to present stuff to you. I don't just vote on this. My job is to try and make it easy for you to understand what it is. You have some legal actions right there for the property owner who owns this piece of property because there was a prior approval for a higher density in this zone district already. So be mindful of that. That's the only thing that I bring to your attention from there. But you didn't have questions for me. You have questions
for me. No, I just wanted to say,
It is your time.
This is the 40 acres. This is the 40 acres. This here is the 40 acres. All of this around here is timberland and is hunting acres. So this is different. These were illegally done. It should not be that you get grandfathered in just because illegal things were done previously, but just to explain the map a little bit more, there are 40 acre tracts still in this area, and all around here.
I got a question, though, but you saying that they illegally done the green, but the orange was illegally done, too? Those are in files, smaller than the green. So if the green's illegal, then how did we get the orange in there?
My dad, in 2000, he bought 40 acres, and that's how it was presented to him that it had to be in 40 acres. At that time, the zoning was still 1 to 100. So even that was done illegally when he bought the 40. And then, a couple years after he bought it, then other people brought up the additional. They bought, there was another 40, and then I think another 60, and then they went and petitioned for it to be divided up. So there's a long history of illegal. So while this was voted on after the fact, it was done, my parents went to this meeting, okay, to trash stop it. It was already done. It was one of those times back in the day where things, before he could get his name on the list to even speak, he had to give money under the table. When this was voted on, it was during a time where things were not done correctly. So did they actually do the paperwork and have a meeting? Yes. Were things done correctly and honorably? No, no, sir. They were not. But there are 40-acre tracts still in this area that we were zoned for in 2015.
Well, I know they were a bunch of good people on the board at that time. Now, have you got, can you prove that, or is that just hearsay? Can you prove
my
to the fact of what you're saying?
My father was at the meeting. He can tell you that he had to pay the building and zoning individual $250 prior to even being able to speak in front of the board. Now, that person was punished. There were other issues during this time.
Where are you getting this information at?
From my family.
Who punished him?
Well, he was arrested.
For this particular thing?
For doing things illegally in the county. But how I would like to...
Well, I just hate bashing people. I have nothing to look at. And we're talking about people that done stuff 10 or 15 or 20 years ago.
Right.
And I just don't agree with some of that without having documentation.
Right. But I'm
sorry.
I think that this all was done in the beginning wrong. This is still wrong. There are times where you can't go down those roads because the rain washes them out and they're hazardous. And you see pipes. And the man does have an HOA, he does receive money. Does he come in always to fix it? No. My point is...
Wouldn't that be civil, though? Honestly, I mean, if they're paying, that would be civil, not Board of County Commissioners.
Right. That's fine. But this still was illegally done. If I can start on how I apologize. I just want to clarify the map. There are 20 acre tracts still in this area. That does not mean that those don't exist anymore. So, we, of course, oppose anything to go from 40 acres to 10. The future land use map of 2025 was adopted in 2015 by the board to keep this at 1 to 40. So we used to be at 1 to 100. Now we're at 1 to 40. So and that's the future land map of 2025. Then the zoning map for our area is still 1 in 100. And like Leon said, there's some changes that need to be adopted to that. So what we're worried about is spot zoning. Spot zoning is defined as the process of singling out a parcel of land, the use of classification totally different than the surrounding area for the benefit of the property owner and is detrimental to the other landowners. So This is all surrounded by hunting woods. You've got 40-acre tracts. He's wanting to make a subdivision here where this is, I mean, I could show you a different map that would clearly say the green is what timberland. So this is spot zoning, that this is not the same subdivision. This is not that close. All of this is hunting land. You're going to put 18 new homes in hunting land, okay? Another thing that we're worried about, like you mentioned, Mr. Jody, at the last meeting, we lose over $100,000 a year, correct, is what you said, because we have to outsource our EMS. And I love Mr. Brown, and every time I've been in here, he tries to fight for more money. He tries to make exceptions to help his department to get us the help we need, okay? But we don't have enough. He's working on that. He's getting them raises. He's trying to get new jobs out there and more EMS. But right now, it takes 45 minutes to an hour, or even more than an hour, because I talked to Mr. Valentine, and he explained to me that his wife may still be here today if we could have got her an ambulance. It was over an hour and 10 minutes before the ambulance got to us. So we're losing revenue. But whatever revenue that is potential in tax revenue can be lost like that because you have an ambulance that we don't have the resources for, so we have to outsource.
You know how you're going to get that ambulance? How you going to get that fire truck?
By provisions he's already made and that you have already made. You've increased
No, not technically. You're going to have to get the density up because we put the vehicles where the most calls come in. So the more people you get in that area, then you have more calls coming, then you're going to get that truck.
This is an environmentally sensitive area. It is less than 2 miles from the coast. We have a wind velocity of 130 miles per hour. We just had the anniversary of the 93 storm that wiped us all out, where my husband didn't have a home. 12 years old, he woke up in the middle of the night and lost his home. We can't afford another flooding. We need provisions in place that if he does do a subdivision, that we have proper drainage. We have zero law where we are at. Every weekend, we have side-by-side going in there, destroying our ditches, destroying our culverts, destroying our lime rock roads that we have to call you guys to help fix.
Because I'm in the hamlet down here in all the subdivisions, too. Don't feel lonesome.
I understand, but it's not acceptable. When I came here, did I come to you asking for better internet? No. I have shoddy internet. I've had shoddy internet forever. I've got 4 college degrees by living in Dixie County. And when my internet didn't work, I went somewhere else and I came back to my sanctuary where I live. These people that are moving in here are from bigger cities trying to run from the problems of their big government where they're at. And they're going to expect you to have better paved roads. They're going to expect you with better internet, better resources. We can't even provide them with an ambulance or a police officer. We just learned that a few weeks ago. I was not even notified that there was a madman out there, and my husband leaves at 5 in the morning with the doors unlocked, and there's a madman out there near Gina, and I was not notified. Thank the Lord the man had his own gun and was able to help us, help the situation, and save his family. But you don't have resources in place for me and for my children. And then you're going to bring 18 new homes for monetary gains of one person and maybe more monetary gains of another county. We do not have our own zip code. Our bed tax goes to Taylor County. Our stores, everywhere we shop, everything goes to Taylor County. The water and sewer goes to Taylor County. We have nothing for ourselves. We have no infrastructure. We have no law. We have no ambulance.
I agree
that
100%.
Sir, I do want to stress and articulate this. Please understand that these are two separate items. The landowner's responsibility is not to provide law enforcement or fire protection or ambulance services for his property. That is a county issue. The zoning has to change, and this 40-acre piece right here that you're looking at, they did a small-scale amendment, so it stays in the county. The 140 gets reviewed by the state Department of Economic Review. And so tonight's reading will be a transmittal reading where it gets sent to the state and sent back.
Yes, these are environmental sensitive areas. This is a printout from that district and the intent, but it clearly states these are not preservation districts. They are allowed to have GSA 1, 2, 3, and 4 down to 5-acre pieces in there.
Leon, correct me if I'm wrong, but say I own that 40, and I want to cut out an acre to my son Justin, I want to cut out an acre to my daughter. Is that legal?
Yes.
All right, so I've got 38 acres left. So if I sell that 38 acres to you, then can you go cut an acre out for your youngin' and your youngest?
Yes.
So technically, on that scenario, that partial could be broken 1-acre lots. Legally,
yes,
and there was nothing we could do about it.
It can be broken into family lot splits, 1 acre for immediate family. That is fact.
For homestead. This is not homestead property.
I understand what you're saying, but he has that property and he wants to give a homestead to a family member. He could. And I understand, and we all agree that maybe possibility that this wasn't brought before and the zoning map changed. What this man did was he did bring it before the legal way. And brought it before you look at, instead of just getting a survey and running down there and parceling it out. Now, the county is not 100% at fault for this. There's been hundreds of permits issued in this meeting right here, and you ask why. Well, I can tell you why. Because when they pulled it up on the North Florida Planning Council's map, that parcel was existing outlined there. Because they just quickly adopted whatever property appraiser had without verifying that these changes hadn't been vetted through the planning council. So if anything, I would argue that it's a failure on the planning council's part.
If we're being fair, where did you place the yellow sign to notify the landowner of this change? Is there a paper note adjoining landowner was notified? Besides being in the paper, there was no yellow sign.
But you're here.
But it says to have a yellow sign. You have one in your office, and you were proud in September to tell me your protocol is the sign.
Anybody takes it down? You ain't took it down, buddy.
There was no sign there.
Been there every day.
And I know you would use that. But every other sign has never been stolen in our district. And it's usually up for 2 months, even prior, after you approve of it. There was no yellow sign. And this never should have been brought up until the ordinance for a planning council. These are all brought up before the planning council. That is being stalled. This is also married into his family. This is his relative that is putting this up. So if you're going to say that it needs to be legal, do it the right way and have a yellow sign. Because there's many people in here can say there was never a yellow sign.
This was advertised. I went to look at signs. We have the emergency policy procedures here for this. This is a density change.
We lose trust in government officials when they don't do things the right way. We feel that things are pushed down our throats because things are not done the right way. Anyone that has to put up a yellow sign, it has to be advertised. The neighbors have to know about it. This was not done. I'm getting calls, my husband's getting calls, that we are threatened that we need to conform to these developers or they're going to come back to the board and ask for 5-acre tracts. I am not being pushed out of my own county and out of my town. I bought here and am raising my children in a rural area. This is not the urban development, okay? You guys have your maps for a purpose so that people know that when they're buying, they know, okay, a subdivision can go there or a big condo can go there because that's the map that they go by for proper planning.
I do have one question on this map right here. You live here on the 8-acre track?
It's 9 acres, and it was grandfathered in yesterday.
And is this a 5-acre track that you own as well?
I do not own that.
What's your family?
My mother-in-law owns 12 acres. This subdivision was done correctly because our granny Dot did that. She came to the board, she did her paperwork. That one was done correctly.
Is that not in the same area?
It is in the same area, but this is a 40, this is a 40. He has a 40 and all around.
Well, that other one had to be at least 60 before it was cut up then.
None of these people They're on the nine that called. Look at the people that called. It's the landowners, the ones that are calling it up for it. They have short-term monetary gain. It's good for their business and their pocket. It's good for that. I'm trying to raise my children in a rural community. I never ask you for better internet. I don't bother you for the law. I don't bother you for an ambulance, because what I tell my people, if you can get in the car, you get in the car, you call 911, and you call, and you'll meet them in proper sin. So you have that chance to survive. This is for monetary gain for one individual that has owned it for less than a year. It was in his family, yes. And it was given to another family member, and he bought it from them. This does not help the community. And I'm pretty sure somewhere in here it says it should not interfere with the culture of the land. It is detrimental to everyone that owns here. They bought this for a rural area, not for a huge subdivision. This is the only county road that matches this property. So 18 new homes.
I understand that, ma'am, and I know you're most knowing. But what I can't, when I took this, I said I'm gonna try to be fair and equal for everybody. So what makes it right for y'all to have 5 acre pieces right next to his, but he can't even put his at 10, which is larger than what y'all cut that up into?
He can't build on 5 acres.
Huh?
5 acres.
Well, I'm asking. I'm trying to understand. I mean, she's pointing out. He's saying those were small lots right there, out in the middle of nowhere, but then this guy's wanting to do 10 acres bigger than that, but he's wrong, and they're right, and I'm just trying to say why. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to be fair for everybody. How did that happen, and it's legal, but the rest of this is illegal?
This is not permissible.
I'm just blind coming in. I'm just trying to grasp it all together.
And that's why I wanted to speak, because nobody ever gets the whole picture, and everyone wants to think about monetary gain and revenue. But when we're already bleeding because we're not independent. Gina is Steen Hatchie. We have a Steen Hatchie address. Everything goes to Taylor County. So if we can get infrastructure in place.
That partisan side has handled for long.
That's all I'm asking.
Yes, ma'am.
Plan accordingly. He just had a lesson on it this week about proper planning. ESA requires proper planning. Management that is going to be successful in this county needs proper planning. We don't have it yet.
Well, that scares me too. Because to my understanding, what they was told at that meeting, that we legally cannot deny him to break that up.
The future land use.
And I don't understand that either, but anyway.
What are you saying?
The future land use map of 2025.
I'm good with 10, but I'll say small.
We're talking about the same thing.
That's just me.
Are you going to tell them they better have their own gun and protect their own property, and that if they have an ambulance, pray that it comes in time? Because that's what you're telling those 18 new families when you bring it down to 10-acre tracts. But you can't take care of
them. I'll tell them just like we've told the ones in the past. We got those zones, and you look at the call rates. And where all the calls are coming in, we try to place the ambulance in the most needed areas. We can't have an ambulance sitting in y'all's area when you're only getting 40 or 50 calls a year, and we're getting 900 in Cross City and over 1,000 or something in Overtown. How much? It has to be closer to the major call area for the response time. But that's just me personally.
But that's, we're not complaining. We understand it.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't call them anymore.
Okay. Yes.
What's your name?
Sarah. Thank you. Sarah, I think we got some more we want to talk on that. Let's put names up. Mr. Howard, didn't you want to?
Ms. Sarah.
Yes, sir.
Your point's very well taken and very well presented. I don't think that's getting a lot more emotional with it. Please, if you'll let us move.
Yes, sir. And I will. I just want you. Our little emblem there is hunting, fishing, turkey. I don't want to lose our culture, and I don't want you to put the dollar before anybody. And we deserve to have this rural lifestyle because that's where we bought. That's the intentions of where we bought. And You have to think ahead for other generations. So you can't just always think about what how it helps the local business at the other side of the bridge to help pocket them and their elderly. Think about my children's generation and my future grandchildren. That's all I ask. Thank you, sir.
My name is Howard Hart. Fortunately, somewhere down the road, somebody decided to take this and change it into life, which gives me an opportunity for me, my two children, to be able to stop these here. So we want infrastructure. We want health. You look at the other side of the river, and until you, the county commissioners, or the county, decide to turn loose and allow the future people of St. Atchegina or, as far as I'm concerned, over the United States and want to come to St. Hatchie and want to live. Because they got a job and they're working and they're making money and they got money to buy a little piece of property and they can put something on what you allow them to do. I think we need to do that. I see on both sides of the river and I understand they're saying, well, you're going to get personal gain. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter whether it's this or it's this or it's the other side of the river. I do my best to serve both sides of it. So, will I? I probably will, and I hope I do. But I still want to see, I see things have to go in back. Whatever. Hamlets, it doesn't matter. You need it, it's over there. But it's over there because of the growth. You're never going to have it in Dixon County until you're willing to sacrifice a little bit. Now, here's every one of us, not every one of us, but most of us. What do you do? You leave here 1 or 2 weeks out of the year, what do you do? You go to North Carolina, you go to Tennessee, you go to Georgia, and those people up there are allowing growth for you to be and go entertain yourself. But we in Dixon County, we don't want any growth. We want to leave it just like it is, but yet we want the health and well-being of what population creates, and that's people, and that's service. That's our fire, it's our police, it's everything. But as long as it stays like it is, you're still going to be in danger of living there because it's doubled against service for what you need. So I'm grateful and thankful that they did this. I'll be grateful and thankful if they do that, or if they can do anything, you, as county commissioners, can change it. Density so that we can have a growth in Dixon County. Taylor County, if you look at it, it's much different as black and white. I'm on both sides of it. I live on one, work on the other. So I don't like to be in controversy, but I like to see people healthy and be able to have a living. 30 years ago in St. Hatchie, we couldn't bring nobody to St. Hatchie because we didn't have anything for them to do. Now we've got plenty to do, and nobody wants to work. So how do you win? So I ask your county commissioners to allow this to happen simply for somebody like my grandchildren or somebody else. Can afford a piece of property because it's not 40 acres. Is that my 3 minutes?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Peter Brockwich. Brockwich.
Sure.
Okay.
Brother.
Okay, Broner.
Appreciate you giving me this time. I appreciate all that folks do. I know it's a thankless job. I was involved with some of this in 2002. I'm a serial speaker. We threw our names in the hat because there was people that owned property back in 2002. They were going to break up this same area. And I wasn't for it, but what I decided to do then was I'll go ahead and break up my piece of property into 10-acre tracts. I'll sell it. I'm going to move further back in the swamp where nobody wants to put a mobile home park. Or they won't want to build back in there. I thought that's what my wife and I bought. 2004, We built a home on the property, and we just love the area. You know, there's a reason why we live back there, you know, or in that area. And we're going to retire there. 2 weeks today, I retired. 31 years in the city of St. Petersburg. And we're on our way up here. We're fixing our home in St. Pete. And we love the area. We're just up from the boat ramp at Rocky Creek. Brilliant job on that boat ramp. I go to a lot of boat ramps. I see some of your names are on that placard. And I appreciate that boat ramp. Really do. That's my 2 minutes. The last minute, if we go this direction, making this an environmental sensitive area, is there any way legally that we can do an ordinance to slow this down? People are spending a lot of money, time, to put these projects together, thinking that they're going to get approval. Well, they wouldn't spend that money. I spent $94 to have it rezoned, put the pins in the corners. In today's money, that's a full gas tank and a cup of coffee, you know. But there's some folks out here that are spending a lot of money putting blocks together, putting acreage together, thinking you're going to get a problem. Is there any way to make it so expensive that they just will go to another area? I realize Dixie County needs homes, they need jobs. Got to keep the young folk from moving away. You don't want a whole community of people like my wife and I. You just don't want it. You have to have work and be. You can't be all retired and fishing every day. So I understand that. I just don't agree that this is the area, but I'm not against growth. I just don't think this is the area for it. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
I want to make a statement on this here. She mentioned the timber company, so where I was at, all the land that we used to hunt is no longer there. It was broke up in 40s and larger tracts, just about all of it. And what I'm getting at, we don't have a timber company anymore, people. The one that owns the land is an investment group. It is a group up north that is a school teacher union, I think, that actually owns most of this here, and that's their retirement land. Once that land gets worth more than what they sell the trees off of it, it's gone. They're going to break it in pieces and leave it. They're not a timber company. They're an investment group. That's the reason they're not doing maintenance on these ditches and these roads, putting these culverts back in where these female bridges was, where Martin is fighting to try to get culverts in to slow up the flooding. They're doing no maintenance on the roads or the canals because it's an investment group. It's not a timber company. The timber company used to have crews that all they done was work on the ditches and the bridges and kept the roads up. And so on and so forth because it was a timber company. We do not have them here in this county anymore. It's investment groups. So just bear that in mind that we done lost most of it up there, but most of it went in large tracts and some of it's being broke up and smaller along and along, but Daddy told me when I was pretty young, if you didn't buy a piece of land somewhere, it's going to come a time in Dixie County where you would not have a place to hunt, fish, or anything else if you didn't own something. And I hate it, but like I said, I was for tens. I don't want to see it go broke smaller than that, but it's coming. We can fight, but I think that man, from what Leon informed me, I was kind of shocked on what he told me about that meeting. This and that thing that went through that with the comprehensive plan, a lot of that goes to the rights of the people to be able to do stuff with their property that we can't deny them to do. And if you want to elaborate on that, and
well, I just kind of want to touch on something like it's been talked about previously, like the property rights element that was added to this. Like, this person's right on property to apply for change. That's his right. He owns that property. It's a permittable item. He can apply a change to do that. It's a permittable item right here. So if you tell that man that you restrict his right on that.
He can apply for it, but that doesn't mean it's granted.
That's you must understand that it is my job to process the paperwork when he comes in.
I'm not saying
it's not grandfathered in. Okay, sir. No more outbursts.
Anybody who walks through that door, it is my job to sit there and say, okay, here's how you apply for that, or here's how you do that. You know, that is my job. And I do it unbiased. And it doesn't matter if this person is related to me 3 times through marriage or if this person is not related. And this was presented to the board. He didn't know trying to do anything sneaky. This was being presented correctly. This isn't the old way that you said that everything was done legally. Everything that I have done, I've tried to do professionally, and I've tried to get it correct. I tried to bring the building department to a whole other level. Part of the training that we had this past week, which Mr. James sat in on, was for review of this to make sure that we were in compliance. Now, I do have more to talk on that on the building department maybe side of things later on. There are some items that we need to talk about on that. That's a separate topic. But the man did state, you know, and told us, Florida is a growth state. It's one of 6 states that mandates a growth plan. You must prepare for growth. You must understand that it is coming. And that's part of this process. Changes, reviewing it, making sure, you know, the next step right there, when they do bring in a subdivision plat review, make sure that it every rule that it's supposed to. Just because he changes the density here doesn't necessarily grant him access to go run and sell that.
Still got to go before planning council. They can deny or for it.
Well, you here are going to get to vote and approve on this 48 here. This 140 goes to the state for their economic review and comments and gets sent back. Anything under 50 acres stays at a local board level.
You got anybody else?
Yeah. Shelly Rocky.
My name's Shelly Rocky. And I live at Rocky Creek. And I inherited this piece of property from my mom and dad. And this piece of property, you couldn't build on it. And so the man offered if I wanted to buy it because he couldn't build on it because it was 5 acres or 7 acres. So we purchased it. It's a pasture. It has horses. Our grandchildren put horses on it or whatever. As far as I know, you couldn't build on it. I've never applied for any kind of building permit because I just assumed it's not 40 acres, so I couldn't build on it. But I've lived in, down there all my life, and this here is owned by Four Rivers, and it is a hunting lease. And there's so much problems with this people here and this hunting lease and this state land. It's a constant battle between them. And then you want to put 18 more in here in the middle of a hunting land. It just destroys what we do. I mean, that's what our life is. We're rural. We like to be in the woods. We like to live off the land. And I mean, Gina's up here. You got room for Gina. You got this here already done that way. You got plenty of room in here for Gina. That's places they can invest if they want to put more houses. There's plenty of room for people to come in there. But I can tell you, they won't know local be able to afford a 10-acre piece here because it'll probably be around $190,000 per acre for one of these lots. I mean, so that's not local people coming there. That's on TV.
They're projecting those 10 acres to go for how much?
Probably for
$100,000 to $150,000. Well, if they got that kind of money, you probably don't get no thugs.
Exactly. But you get those kind of people that are worse sometimes than thugs. So, anyway, but I'm a real estate broker. I know that's what projected sale of these properties would be. And thank y'all.
Yes, ma'am.
Carolyn Jones? Did I say it right?
Okay. I'm Evelyn Jones. I've lived there on my 10 acres since 1981. I moved there because I wanted to be in a rural community and raise my two sons. I am surrounded by forestry. I have animals all over the place. Something you're not going to see anymore. When they tender around me, I want to see them replant. Fortunately, they are replanting across the road from me. And what Shelly just said, I have a neighbor that has 10 acres, and when he thought about selling it, they priced it at $160,000. You're not going to find anybody in Steen Hatchie or Gina or maybe even Cross City that's going to pay that kind of money. We moved there because we want to be there. I had 40 acres in Old Town, and I'm happy to say I didn't like it. And we sold it. And I moved to where I'm at now. And I've been there since 81. I plan to stay there till I die, and it's going to be my sons and my mother. Thank you for your time.
Ma'am, are you lifelong resident of the county?
No, I was born in Kansas, and I moved up here from Bradenton.
So you was in South Florida, and you came up here in Bolton, Alabama.
I moved up here in 77, and we lived in Taylor County on the river. And our house burned, but they couldn't get to it.
Right.
And consequently, I'm where I'm at.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Does anybody else want to speak on this matter before we move on with it?
I made a.
Where are we at?
I made a motion to pass this, and I like rural area myself, but I also know we need growth. Without growth, we'll never have any ambulances. We'll never have a fire truck. And my motion stands. I don't know about the second.
You second?
Mr. Valentine.
You still second, Mr. Valentine?
Yeah.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor.
I love to say the 10 acres, and the reason I say that is I can't. She's come up here from South Florida, got her piece of prayer out 10 acres. How can I deny somebody else coming from South Florida to get them 10-acre feet of paradise?
That was 40 years ago.
I understand that, ma'am, but you got fives on this side, tens up there regardless, and y'all got fives and tens there. I just got, I understand, I want to, I wish I had the money to buy it, and y'all wouldn't have to worry about it, but I don't.
I bought mine from Hudson, Hudson, Texas, which is a long time ago.
Yes, ma'am. But you got 10 acres when you came.
That was because Hudson, Polk, and Paper had the authority, I guess, to do it. And there's 30 acres out there around that.
Yes, ma'am.
You for it?
Hmm? I'm for 10, but not no smaller in that area.
That's 10 acres.
How many, as, one other question, the wetlands in there, what are we looking at in there? Is there a bunch, or what we... I don't see, I mean, I see blue on the map, but I don't see any in those two yellow spots.
I mean, that's going to be, it's a density area, but it's, I don't have that, but overlay. I mean, all that comes into play when you start looking at
I mean, but they can't, I mean, even if they sell it 10, they can't do anything with it.
That's the petition. It's 10 acres. That's what you're voting on. Can't be left 10 acres.
Yes.
That's the vote.
Yeah, I'm for.
All settled. Motion carried.
You got four to zero.
Four positive, four in favor. You only got three. I can't vote.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But I can tell you this much. I'm not going to try to tell people that they can't do something with their property. And I'm not going to try to force something on somebody else that they don't want. I've said this many times in many meetings. One of the reasons I ain't going to be here no more, I can't justifiably pass, you know, one way or another on people that I just don't want to do it no more. Anyway.
Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
CPA 22-03, an application by Barbara Williams and Ronald M. Williams to amend the future land use map, plan map of the comprehensive plan by changing the future land use classification from environmentally sensitive areas, very low density, less than or equal to one dwelling unit per 40 acres, to environmentally sensitive areas, low density, less than or equal to one dwelling unit per 10 acres on the property described as follows. A parcel of land lying in Section 12, Township 10 South, Range 9 East, Dixie County, Florida, being more particularly described as follows. The northeast quarter of said Section 12, less the south half of the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter of said Section 12, containing 140 acres more or less.
So this is the 140-acre piece right here, and what you're doing is you're voting to approve this to be sent to the state board view, transmittal. That's what previously you said, first reading, second reading. First reading is talk about it. You're going to send it to the state for their review. You're going to send it back. When it comes back, it goes back on the agenda for the second reading, and that's when you talk about it. So this right here is just...
Well, this is not the final say. We should, they've still got another.
Right.
Yeah. So we got a motion.
Yeah, I made a motion.
A second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Got it out, Miss Barbie.
When they review that, are they going to take into account all the wet lists?
They will send us back a list of comments. If they have comments, they'll identify them in that comment section. We'll get read to you.
In those areas, I know, like when timber companies cut timber, they can only cut so close to a creek and stuff like that. I mean, how is that going to work? I mean, the homes, same scenario, basically. They can't fill in creeks, ponds, and cause more flooding. We're all losing those illegal subdivisions in the green and orange over again.
That's on any piece of property. You could have wetlands up there in that RSF.
Take wetlands all over every bit of that.
Yeah. That's all piece of property down there. We have rules and provisions for parcels and wetlands in my actual building.
CE22-01, an application by Jeffrey Tyler Coakley and Leslie Leon Coakley to amend the official zoning atlas of the land development regulations by changing the zoning district from agricultural-5 to A4 to agricultural-5 A5 on the property described as follows. A parcel of land lying in Section 17, Township 9 South, Range 13 East, Dixie County, Florida, being more particularly described as follows. The north half of the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of said Section 17, less the east 40 feet and the west 36.74 feet of the north half of the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of said Section 17, containing 13.86 acres more or less.
So this reading right here starts out with this theme, and that is the current land use map, the zoning map, the one that we typically see that's white, just like this one, and that is broken into the different sections. So everything that we talked about previously with the CPAs, those are the comp plan amendments. That's the future land use map, one that you're reading and you're studying right now. Zoning. You have two different maps.
Is it located down there too, or where?
No, sir. This one is up by the old County Rock Pit, due west of it. The owner is here, Mr. Right here.
Is this in between 353 and 351?
Right down the corner.
Where they're cutting all the timber right now.
That was down the south road, subdivision. Right? On 353 highway frontage.
South of the high fence, probably about a quarter of a mile back south.
You talking about the motorcycle
pilot?
Yep.
Homestead. The one piece right along the highway there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's already existing road frontage.
I was saying that we got a pile of wood on the back side.
Yeah, but
county dumped dirt and you're right by that old house so they could get out. What's the go? What size lots are we going there? What?
Anyway. Change it from 5 acre lots to 2 acre.
And all of those are going to butt 353, which is already paved road.
Don't have a. There's no submittal for subdivision.
You're just changing the zoning, but under the current law, when you go to 2 acres, don't you have to put in a paved road under the other
subdivision require old vista?
So this is just allowing him to apply.
Right.
Before it is adopted, those roads would have to be brought to standards before the subdivision would be adopted.
Right.
Okay. All right. Motion.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye.
D22-02, an application by Barbara Williams and Ronald M. Williams to amend the official zoning atlas of the land development regulations by changing the zoning district from environmentally sensitive area, ESA1, to environmentally sensitive areas, ESA3, on the property described as follows. A parcel of land lying in Section 1, Township 10 South, Range 9 East, Dixie County, Florida, being more particularly described as follows. The southwest quarter of the southeast quarter of said Section 1, containing 40 acres more or less.
What is it? Mr. Cookley, on current map, you're reflecting the change that you voted yes. Yes.
But ain't we got to go back to the county meeting before we show them?
No.
No.
You have to change both maps.
Okay.
And then you have to do that.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor. Motion carried.
22-03, an application by Barbara Williams and Ronald M. Williams to amend the official zoning atlas of the land development regulations by changing the zoning district from environmentally sensitive areas, ESA1, to environmentally sensitive areas in ESA3 on the property described as follows. A parcel of land lying in Section 12, Township 10 South, Range 9 East, Dixie County, Florida, being more particularly described as follows. The northeast quarter of said Section 12, less the south half of the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter of said Section 12, containing 140 acres, more or less.
Leon, on that one there, that we just submitted, voted to submit that to them for review. Do we have to do this also for them to review the map?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, motion.
Second.
And then I need to speak to you before.
All in favor.
Let's come on.
Okay. So we're in the land board meeting, and this is the time that I need to tell you that the board lost case with the Naveen Crabtrap. So, from losing this, I know this is a kind of a sensitive subject for some because it was aggravating and it was a lengthy process for us. It was an expensive trial, and it went through our code enforcement case, and it went all the way up to an appeals court judge, where the judge did not say that we were wrong. He said that we processed this procedurally wrong. This is a vacant residential lot, and that this ain't a maintenance code. It's not code enforcement code. The Board of Land Adjustments. It should have been processed differently. It should have been brought before you instead of a magistrate. Could we appeal it? We could appeal it. It's going to cost money, more money. We've already spent $12,000, and I don't feel like we should continue to spend that money because there's no guarantee that we win. And here's the other part of that. If we don't appeal it and it dies,
that case closes, whatever it may be, tracks aren't there now. If they do show up, then we process it the way that his court judge has ruled should have been processed out. Fines and penalties are actually stiffer this way, and the owner is aware of that.
I've met with Leon. I met with our fellow attorney after getting the order from the chief judge, Mark Feagle, in the case. He's a circuit court judge that rendered that ruling. We done written argument. Both sides did. But in finding this and looking, the LDRs, they handle this position one way. Our ordinances say handle this another way. So when we got to looking at that, our LDR was...
Don't get me wrong. We knew this Monday. We knew this Friday. And the whole time we had Mr. Gene Boyles there giving the training on the LDRs, I presented him with several questions about this case. And he had a chance to review our LDRs, but this was training specific to our stuff. And he did. He said that it's very weird that you have code maintenance items mixed in with your land use items. They're intertwined. They're mixed together. And he made a statement that that's peculiar and that it's unusual. So whenever I went home, I got thinking about this, and it took me a long time to really think about it as to why, and we come up with the answer. The land code development was there prior to the building code by more than a decade. The Land Development Code came in 85, amended in 89, adopted in 1990. The Florida Building Code didn't take effect until 2001. So prior to this, this is the only book that they had. So we're using a book that has rules that are written in multiple places, and it took three lawyers and two judges to realize that we got a procedure violation here. If three
technicality.
Lawyers, yeah, and a technicality. You know, and so how do you fix it? I spoke to
Mr. Well, you don't appeal it, number one, because that's a reason.
Well, let me segue back into that real quick while we're talking about the appeal. Then
yeah,
we, but me and Leon spent a few hours, and Steve,
yes,
going through the issues that don't only apply to this case, specific case, but we have 30 days to appeal the decision and go on to the First District Court of Appeal. That's not going to be my recommendation in this case to do that. But if done the proper way, the next time when he brings them in, Mr. Ray Curtis has already contacted me. I've got the order from the judge. What is your board's desire? I said, well, my board's not very happy at all, not been happy with your client's action from day one, not happy. So the traps, obviously, Stallcraft season is over or about to be over. The traps are coming back in. If we appeal this, it could be another 3 or 4 year process once it gets to Tallahassee. There's no guarantee of winning or not. I still think we was right because the intent of this legislative board was to take the power from y'all, give that to a code enforcement officer, and we adopted an ordinance to that effect that repealed anything in conflict therewith. That's my argument. I believe I'm still right on that, even though the procedures and the LDRs is different than what our ordinance says.
What I would like to do is ask the board permission to work with Mr. Gene as an independent consultant to go through and separate out the land use and the code items and bring it back for you. If not, we're going to be continuing to do the same thing that we've always done. And
we need to do
and not just on this particular issue, throughout the whole book of the LDR.
Right. And so that we don't create confusion, right? We're not going to be changing anything. If you look into the LDRs and you get into sections in there, you're going to see floodplain management section. There's a whole section in there that is basically partially correct. When we have a FEMA floodplain ordinance, we need to put that into a technical manual. We have in here section 9, that's minimum housing standards. When we have a state building code, those need to be separated out to their individual technical manual. This needs to be restructured so that
a
normal person who wants to review this, look at this, and verify anything can understand it. If three lawyers and two judges missed it before it made it to an appeals court judge to say, hey, there's a procedural issue here, the normal person walking in picking it up for the first time is not going to understand it. And
I agree.
My thing is, allow us to separate this out, have a workshop, bring it back before you, look at it.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
I guess everybody in favor.
Yes.
What's yeah. going on? This is something that should have been done in 2001 when the state adopted the building code. And I think it goes back to some of the areas that you've seen right here where you didn't have people in the places that quite fully understood everything to help you and present this information to you. And there's only so far that we can go with that book, but it's from 1985. And there's no point in spending 12 grand in your face to do on taking out.
Well, so many of these issues were saying you got three different sets of procedure in place right now that's in conflict with each other on certain issues.
Now, that doesn't mean that every case that we had is, you know, thrown out. That's not that at all. This was a basic land use item that was in question. Now, Speedy needs to reschedule code enforcement hearing. Health affairs next week. I don't want anybody to misconstrue that. But that's what I need to bring before you before we go back into the commission.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
And
I hope they let it die and go back out.
Right.
And while you're there, Leon, discussing this, we rent, basically now, if we don't appeal it, which is my advice not to appeal it, Mr. Curtis, he called me, got the order, he was on vacation. What do we do? What's your board's desire? Traps about to come back in. We want to work with the county. I said, well, I don't know how that's going to pan out, Mr. Curtis. I said, but I can tell you this. I appreciate you doing all the hard work and pointing out the exact procedure that the judge sided with. So we totally understand that procedure now. And then the chief judge gave us the roadmap to that. And actually now how it'll work when he brings them in, the LDR administrator, which is not Steve, is Leon, will go down there and put him a notice of violation up, a new violation. He'll have so many days to comply, and at that point, if he don't do it, we've talked to the assistant state attorney here that's willing to, because it's a second degree misdemeanor, if the board so chooses, if he does not comply with the order of the LDR administrator, he'll do an affidavit stating that, and Mr. Brandon will be charged criminally, and I did pass that along to his lawyer, which caused kind of some concern. Wait a minute, time out, I need to talk. I said, well, just because y'all won the battle, the war, it ain't quite over with this, so, and they know that. They understand that. So,
mind us not appealing it, because if we appeal it, it's going to continue to do what he's doing until the judge makes their ruling.
And we're going to cost taxpayers more money.
Correct.
So we need to fix our stuff, and if he does it again, don't work well, we know the mechanism now, so it's spelled out.
Martin, do we have to disclose about the other issue that the state attorney's office here now or not?
That's a little bit.
Should that become a problem, then you'll get notified on that. That would be a very similar situation to
this. Yeah, that'll be something different. We don't need to.
Yeah. All right. That's all I have for that.
So the motion was for?
Mr. Chairman, did y'all yes. finish y'all's vote on item 9?
Yeah. Excuse me.
Did y'all finish y'all's vote on item F?
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I need to know who.
No, we need to go back to regular meeting.
Motion to go yeah. back to the board.
Mark made a motion. I think I seconded it to let Leon separate that out and bring it back to us.
But that actually needs to be done in the regular meeting, don't we?
We already done it. She's trying to figure out. Marvin's trying to figure out who did what.
For clarification, Valentine.
Yes.
So we're at a resolution 2020.
Did we I made a motion to go back.
Anybody second to go back into the board?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries.
Resolution 2022-48, Russell Walton.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-49, Daniel Benning.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Miss Barbara, you hearing all this?
Yes, I got it.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-50, Harry Barnes and Terry Wills.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2022-51, Harold Carlton, Jr.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-52, Mark Hines.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-53, Charles Perry II.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-41, Jeffrey Tyler Coakley and Leslie Leon Coakley.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-42, Barbara Williams and Ronald M. Williams.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-43. Barbara Williams and Ronald M. Williams.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-44, Jeffrey Tyler Coakley and Leslie Leon Coakley.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-45, Barbara Williams and Ronald Williams.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Resolution 2022-46, Barbara Williams and Ronald M. Williams.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Ordinance 2022-01, Jeffrey Tyler Coakley and Leslie Leon Coakley.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Ordinance 2022-02, Barbara and Ronald M. Williams.
Motion.
Motion. All in favor. Who made the motion?
Okay.
Who seconded it?
I did.
Okay. You got that, Barbara? Motion carries.
So this ordinance number 2022-03 is Barbara and Ronald Williams, and that's the first reading.
All right, we don't.
Then ordinance 2022-04, Jeffrey Tyler Coakley and Leslie Leon Coakley.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Motion
carries.
Ordinance 2022-05, Barbara and Ronald M. Williams.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Uh-huh.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you. Christy King.
She's in the hallway.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here to speak with you tonight. I believe you have the proclamation in your packet. If not, I just happen to have one for you here.
Proclamation. Thank you. 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 Thank you
This is his one.
Fair.
You know it.
I'm glad you're
fair. I got the hug.
Thank you, Ms. Christie.
Absolutely. So, as most of you know, I'm up at Guardian Lobato for the Third Judicial Circuit. I am the program director there. And if anybody wants to know what the Guardian Lobato does, I would be happy to share it with you at any time. So this tonight is just a proclamation that I would ask for you to adopt, because April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and it's also a month that we show appreciation for our volunteers. So Guardian Ad Litem is primarily volunteer run. We do have state employees, and we also have grant employees, but our volunteers help us to keep our program running. Just talking about child abuse, just something a little important. So, okay, so if you'd like to follow along, I will read this. And I would like for the last section to be read by Mr. Paul Gates, since he helped us to sign off on the very last part. So, the Guardian Ad Litem Office, whereas April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and April 17th through the 23rd, 2022, is National Volunteer Week, and whereas the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Office provides representation for abused, abandoned, and neglected children in dependency court proceedings, and whereas the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Office current best interest model of representation is nationally recognized as the best practice because it uses multidisciplinary team approach or model that includes an attorney, a certified child advocate manager, and a trained volunteer or pro bono attorney. And whereas for more than 40 years, the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Office has provided the most vulnerable children in Florida with an adult from their community who is a consistent, positive presence in the child's life. And whereas the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Office provides the highest quality community advocacy and legal representation to protect each child's rights and best interests. And whereas for more than 30 years, the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Office has provided independent legal advocacy for hundreds of thousands of vulnerable children located throughout Florida. And whereas in 2021, the Florida Guardian Ad Litem Office had more than 13,000 volunteers, and those volunteers advocated for more than 37,000 children in Florida. And whereas the Guardian Ad Litem program in the Third Judicial Circuit, serving Columbia, Suwannee, Hamilton, Lafayette, Dixie, Madison, and Taylor counties, oversees a volunteer base of over 60 people, and those volunteers advocate for more than 500 children in the Third Judicial Circuit. Whereas the Guardian Ad Litem pro bono attorneys sacrifice time worth over $3 million annually to the state of Florida, and whereas the Guardian Ad Litem volunteers sacrifice time and mileage worth millions of dollars annually to the state of Florida, and whereas the Guardian Ad Litem volunteers have provided an invaluable service to dependency court judges, and whereas studies show that children with a Guardian Ad Litem are more likely to be adopted, half as likely to reenter foster care, less likely to spend time in long-term foster care, more likely to have permanency plans, and more likely to perform well in school. And now, therefore,
therefore, be it resolved that by virtue and authority vested in me, this will be Vice Chairman of W.C. Mills of the Boone County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim the month of April 2022 as Child Abuse Prevention and Volunteer Appreciation Month.
I got one question on these, just here, the child abuse thing. How many places do we have in the county that take these in, or do they have to go out of county?
That would be through Road, and they all have to go out of county.
So all of our children here that's in that have to go outside the county. Because we don't have anybody here volunteering to do that, or legally they have to go outside the county.
Right. So what we do currently is we, of course, search for a close relative. And if we can't find a relative that can pass a background check and a home study, then they have to go outside of our county. So a relative or a person that the child knows. So we have zero foster homes.
And the reason I was bringing that up, got these young kids that get to these situations and they move them outside the county and then they wind up going to school with other children where they don't know no one.
So what
not only are they disrupted in their family, they disrupted in their school life also.
Yes, sir. So what happens in the county is when a child is abused, so that means a child is a victim of abuse. It's double jeopardy for them because not only are they a victim of the abuse in their home, that they have to be removed from their home, and then they have to go somewhere with people they don't know, go into a school that they've never been to, in a county they don't know. So they're victimized again.
That's what I was getting at.
Yes.
Yes,
so, and just to share some statistics with you for our county, because a lot of times, I'm from Dixie, born and raised right here, and I know that Dixie is special to me, and I've heard the passion here tonight, and I know Dixie is special for you as well. So with that being said, I'd just like to share with you our numbers. We do serve seven counties, as I mentioned. However, this is the statistics just in Dixie County. So currently we have 59 children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned.
And the reason I bring that up, my children, was not abused, but when I started them out, I started them out in the Suwannee Valley Christian Academy over there off of 341, which is now,
it goes all the way through 12th.
So what's the name of that school over there?
There's a lot of people from here go there.
Yours go there.
Riverside.
And that's how it's Suwannee River Christian Academy. Well, most of the children from there was either for Threaten, Bell, or surrounding areas. Once my children got so old, then I had to bring them back to Dixie County School, and all of their classmates that they knew went to Bell, went to Threaten. That was a major deal for my kids. It really was. It was.
They're sad to be removed. They're sad because of the abuse they went through. They're sad to be removed from their home, and they're sad to be removed from their school and their friends. So, again, they are victimized again.
My oldest daughter went all the way to the seventh grade, and all of hers went to Bell, and she'd come here. The other ones, I moved them out at an earlier stage, but that was pretty traumatic. You know, everybody you know.
It's very traumatic. And then it causes problems for the children. We have kids that have never acted out before.
Believe me,
they don't know, and caregivers and foster parents, and they begin to act out, and they are straight-A students, you know. So with that said, so we have 59 children here in Dixie, and again, like I mentioned earlier, we are volunteer-based, and so our motto, what we would like to have, is a volunteer for every child. We don't have even a volunteer for every case. Some cases have one child, some cases have nine children. So it just depends. So our active children in Dixie County with a volunteer, so out of the 59 children, we have 17 children that have a volunteer working on their behalf.
On getting the volunteers, when you have a volunteer for that situation, did the state help those financially to take care of those children? How does that work?
Okay, we're talking about two different things. So that would be a placement. So our volunteers don't actually take placement of the children in their home. Our volunteers represent the child in court. So when a child is removed from their home, we have a hearing that's called the shelter, and the mom gets an attorney, the dad gets an attorney, and the child gets an attorney and a guardian ad litem and hopefully a volunteer. So we are the people that represent the child in court. So the volunteer is basically, they go to school meetings, they go to IEP meetings, they go to dance recitals, they advocate for the child in court.
The judges don't like children to testify if they can and put them in a position they have to testify against their parents and
right.
at very young ages unless they have to use a spokesperson for that child's interest in court.
Yes.
I'm talking to the teachers.
Right. We do everything a parent should be doing.
Right.
Basically, except actually caring for the child, and that is by licensed foster care or a approved relative or friend of the family, that kind of thing. And yes, there are funds for those people. And as a volunteer, we pay mileage. We have training for them. So they are.
I was just trying to get, I know there was some stuff out there, maybe that would help in trying to get volunteers if they know they doing good, it ain't all going to be out of their pocket. They're going to be subsidized a little bit for gas or whatever
right.
to help.
Right. Well, Judge Johnson is planning to do a push for foster homes very soon. She has something in the works. So for those of you that attend church, be looking for her and probably me real soon. Because we're going to be advocating for volunteers as well. So that leaves 42 children in our system right here in Dixie County. 42 with no volunteers.
What is the age range on this?
Mostly right now, I hate to say we have a lot of newborns. We just had a situation where the mother left the hospital before the child. And they were looking for somebody to take the child home. Well, somebody take this child. So, sadly, we do have quite a few newborns right now. But we also have the age range to teenagers. We have kids aging out that are in group homes, facilities, Boys Ranch, Boys Recovery, Jacksonville, Home Society. Our kids, our Dixie kids, are spread all over Florida, I hate to say.
Ms. Chris, The thing that really is gut-wrenching that we have that many kids that don't have nothing. But the other side of that is we have so many good people that have opened their homes and grandparents that have taken their kids into where they don't get into this system. And if it wasn't for them people, my gosh, we'd have them in Georgia.
Yes, we have a lot of grandparents raising kids.
Yes, we do.
That aren't even in our system.
Right.
But then once they get in our system, we definitely try to find some grandparents or aunts, uncles,
right.
cousins,
But
friends.
thank God that we do. I mean, I can look in here and I know for a fact there's people that's doing this right now.
Absolutely.
And I commend them immensely.
Absolutely. But also, those people stepped up to the plate.
Exactly right.
And did that. These 59 are ones that, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Well, I really appreciate everything you'll do.
Thank you. Because we don't want to have to move our kids outside of our county. You know, when we don't want them to be victimized again. So our job is to take
care. One more thing. You'd mentioned that Jennifer was putting something together, and she volunteered to come to our church to play the piano, and I thought she was just being nice, but she got up there after playing the piano, and she announced this in our church. So you're right. It's coming. If you ain't heard it in your church yet, it's coming. So she is putting something together, and anything. I know this board will support it 100%. anything we can do, we definitely.
Right, and I appreciate that. And we are doing a push for volunteers. Currently, we have about, like I said, we have the 17 children that do have volunteers, but you see that we have quite a few that, the 42 that don't. So we would like to get a volunteer for every child, or at least a volunteer on every case. So if anybody wants to ever talk to me about that, I'm available. We have an office right here at Ameris Bank, alongside the Dixie County Anti-Drug Coalition. We partnership with them, and they allow us to have an office in there for free. Thank you for this as well.
And if I may,
yes, sir.
Can I pull over your numbers again? Did I hear like you got like a 3-to-1 ratio statewide on your guardian ad libitum children here in the district, includes 50 counties, well, it's Swanee County, where I'm from. The 10-to-1 ratio, is that correct?
Yes.
So, somebody really needs to start stepping up.
Absolutely. And to be a volunteer, we do have those people go through background checks, of course, because those volunteers are like mentors. They go into school and visit them. They go into their home and visit them. And basically, a volunteer, they are our eyes and ears in the school, in the home, that kind of thing. And they do attend court. We will have court tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock for dependency. And so they attend court. And they are the child's voice.
And you have 59 children here in Dixie County. And how many advocates have for them during Dixie? Guardian adults?
Yes, so we have volunteers, we have 17. That's child right. Advocate managers, we only have one. Yes. And circuit wide, we have 614 children currently as of today, because I can pull the numbers today. So in 7 counties, 614.
Wow.
And 59 here.
Yes, but the volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
600 is only
60. Yes.
Greater than 7.
Yes. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Chris. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Greg Bailey.
Hey, Mr. Phil.
Doctor.
Oh, Mr. Phil.
You hear me?
Yeah, I'm not Greg Bailey. I'm Phil Bishop. I'm here at Mark's request. I understand he said Greg was fired. I'm just filling in. He's actually in Tucson, Arizona, moving his son. He's in the Air Force back to San Antonio. So I'm just a temporary I'll be just as brief as y'all will let me. I know we've been here a long time, so I won't belabor the point. We had a meeting yesterday with the contractor for the courthouse security and an update on that. Won't say it's bad news, but it was not really what we were wanting to hear. During the bidding process, we had some questions about our contract time, which was 75 days. Their concern with the length of time was in procuring materials. Everyone knows how the supply chain is right now, and there were some lead time items that were going to be critical to the project. The contractor, the successful contractor yesterday, said it was going to take about 18 weeks to get the storefront doors, the glass doors, that we were going to need to replace the two we had. And that's an integral part of the project. That's the biggest part of the project, being securing the courthouse during the course of construction. It was our discussion that we felt like we would be better off postponing the project until we had those doors in rather than starting some of the construction, having exterior walls up, but having to secure the existing doors and all like that. So our recommendation, there will be no price change. The contractors will honor the price that they had. They've got their materials locked in other than the doors, and so there won't be any increase in cost. Just a delay in the project being able to get started. The sheriff is aware of that. I think he's probably going to inform the judge of the circumstances. So our recommendation is that we hold off on issuing the notice to proceed until closer to the time when we have these doors in place or have them on hand. We did ask the contractor to look at some alternatives. We specified a particular door, but that's not the only door that we can use. That was just specified as a standard for them to meet. So if they can have provide us an equal door, then we'll accept that if we can move the project along. So any questions that I can
ask? Any doubt in the motion or how any down?
No. I did have a question before we do a motion. Is there any way to, in Jody's motion, I don't know what he was thinking, was if we, what I don't want to do is y'all get ready, then we, like now it's going to be 3 weeks before we have another board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So could we just make?
I just wanted to make sure we had all materials on hand because I'm fighting the same battle with my business, and some of them guys have promised you they're going to have it the 14th.
Right.
And when the 14th gets here where the truck didn't ship or they misrun it,
and then
the next 14th, well, it didn't get shipped, then they just keep stringing you out.
Right. Yeah, that's why we won't start construction until they definitely have them on hand. But to answer your question, Mr. Ash, there's no need for a motion because y'all have already approved the contract and executed the contract.
As we get toward the end of the term, we can extend it.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, until the contractor gives Northpark Professional Services all of their materials in hand and a definite date of delivery, then we give them that notice to proceed.
Right.
So we're just holding off on that so we don't run into that conflict where we don't have to amend the contract.
Right.
Are you just updating you on
The next item I have to bring to your attention is the parking lot across the street. As you were aware of, when we did that project, it came in considerably over the budget that was allocated for the project. I think y'all gave staff and us approval to negotiate with the contractor and come back to you with a price for the work. And we have done that, and Anderson has agreed to do the project for $73,388.97. This includes... it doesn't include any additional lime rock that may be over there, but it would be them doing the final grading and the paving and striping and all of that. If there's any additional asphalt needed, the county would supply that.
Pretty rock.
Any additional rock?
Any additional rock?
Any additional lime rock?
Who asphalt? Who asphalt?
We do the rough grade.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
How much lower was that than the initial bid?
The initial bid was $119,827.77, so roughly $46,500.
And I'll cover those two items, the notice of award and the contract, under my items, if that's okay.
We also have submitted our plans for Northeast 362nd Avenue and Northeast 364th Avenue to DOT for their review. They have told us to anticipate 8 to 12 weeks before they will get those plans back. Aside, the state workers, particularly DOT, that I'm familiar with and work with, they are not back to work full time yet, and we're seeing this not just here in Dixie County, but in all the counties as these plans. It's an unfortunate situation. Miscellaneous items, and Dwayne, you may want to amplify a little bit on this since I wasn't there. Kellen looked at two areas. I think this was at your request, Mr. Stevenson, to look at project on 305, some drainage issues. We've reviewed that or looked at it in the field, and we'll provide an analysis or our opinion about it. Order.
The reason I had mentioned that it was the flooding's back on us again, and then we missed. I can't remember the date of the meeting. I wish we could pull it to meet us, but Mr. Guy Anderson was beating us up about Thompson Road that we paved, and they wasn't adequate drainage. And the whole board agreed that before we paved another road, that we was going to try to put pipes in appropriate places before that road was paved.
Right.
And I know we got some challenges on that road, and it will be a lot more cost-effective for the county if we could put the pipes in ahead of Addison paving it instead of going back after the fact and cutting asphalt and putting pipes in.
Right.
Especially with the water starting to bank on those roads now.
Right. So, like I say, we will have issue our thoughts and opinions about it.
Thank you.
Probably soon as Greg and Kellen get back.
Just, I know Jody was thinking about Anderson Columbia, but Guy Richardson, not Guy Anderson.
Guy Richardson was
yeah,
beating stuff
make,
about the other end, not
the
Guy. It's a different. I think they do who I saw.
To reflect that, we long gone.
Thank you, Mark.
They also looked at 909th Street down in Swanee yesterday, Mullet Drive. I kind of know why. Don't know, that's an old paved road. It's been there for a long time. Four soils down there, four foundation roads in bad shape. There are some drainage issues. I think that Mr. Anderson, Doug Anderson, has agreed to help the county with that. I'm not sure is that.
There was some talk from the public people in on that road that would like to present some stuff to the commission. I think they had talked to Mr. Hatch in regards to that. Just all verbally right now. We just asked no part of professionals to look at it and give an opinion on that. It would have to be a full reclamation and just a lot of drainage.
Yeah, the adjacent properties on that road are higher than the road, and that's why the water ponds there, and hence the road stays wet. Traffic just caused that base to deteriorate, and it will. It's not just going to go out there and smear some black asphalt on it and make it go away. It's going to be an effort to
be a big project.
Do that. So that's something that we will continue to keep the board informed. 20 seawall. We are researching the question related to mangrove trees, potential alternative to the seawall. So we'll have an answer on that in short order also.
Quick deal.
And the last item, that was the one we talked about. Any questions?
All I want to commend you and Dwayne going back to the plate with the Andersons and saving the county that much.
Well,
I appreciate that. And I know the citizens do, and I appreciate the Andersons for working with us.
Well, that's what we're here for. I think that in the bid process, there was some misconceptions, and that's why the price was a lot higher. They had a lot more work included than what needed to be done. And so once the guy had a chance to come to the table and explain this is exactly what we're looking for, I'm a no-brainer.
Well, like I said, I appreciate you. And Dwayne, thank you for the time to orchestrate that. Thank you all.
Thank you
all. Mr. Chairman, I go out of order. I'm going to have to discuss the early. I'm going to have to leave early. That's all right with you.
Let me take care of Mr. Locker. You got it. Okay.
Right. One thing we got is we talked about the school board meeting room, acquiring that for the county, as well as the county community center down in Swanee. That all started when we talked about the little fire station. Last board meeting, I believe, was directed to get the school board. I did that. They're willing to meet with us on April the 12th at 5 o'clock, call it a workshop, this entire board, if y'all agreed and voted on it. We need to advertise for a workshop meeting down at the school board meet facility in Old Town on April the 12th, 5 o'clock.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye. And that workshop is to discuss acquiring both the school board meeting facility and acquiring the property in Swanee where our community center sits, where both boards can meet and look at each other. You got anything else, Dwayne, I need to cover from a legal standpoint while I'm here?
There's a couple of things I request on the land lease agreements that we talked about at the airport. Their approval per your review.
Well, I'm good with that.
Okay.
Do y'all have anything of legal nature that may come up before I get out of here that you can think of?
We did have one item that I was going to bring up under the building department doing. Previously, the board had stated that they didn't want any of the gambling establishments.
Uh-huh.
We have one that has opened up, and we have another one that's trying to open up, but we don't have any documentation. The Fayette County and Columbia County both have ordinances in place. I have a copy of Columbia County's ordinance for simulated gambling machines. I just need the board's direction on which way to proceed with that because...
Are they legal?
Previously, the board had said that they didn't want to...
Well, they basically voted on a moratorium against
right.
what the board...
Well, they voted not to have them.
Right, and the sheriff was in there and...
Right, but we don't have no way of stopping them to open up. I need it in writing. I understand.
If it was voted on for them not to be here, then I would...
I need it in writing.
We got to do a more...
Your violation, if not. And so it'll be a waste of money and time. And so that was one of the items I was going to talk about.
If we get any permission on step forward, I could draft a proposed ordinance. So I got another one drafting now for...
Right.
I'm going to work it on.
For the,
driveway, so I think break both of them one time. Is that the board's direction?
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Pearl, I've talked to you today. Are you planning on speaking tonight?
So
they may think some things you may bring up that become legal in nature, and I want to be here if that comes up.
I want to talk, but I called them Monday.
Well, if you do, I'm...
Cook put me on the list, and I don't feel like I'm better than...
Go ahead and let's do that while I'm here. That way I can address any legal issues. If that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
Take the position, please.
You're right. These people were on the list. I was not. I'm no better than anybody else.
Everybody here has signed the same petition you did. They're not on the agenda. They're in line just like you are.
Yeah, but my name's nowhere.
Theirs ain't either. I'm saying,
hey,
you all filled out a paper to sign.
I guess what WC's trying to say is everybody that was on the agenda done spoke. Now he's up.
Yeah.
The only ones that's left to come on board is public comments and concerns.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm here on behalf of my brother, Frank Hensinger, again, who was in a car accident on 22222 on his 22nd, son's 22nd birthday, as he went to get his cake, and all of his kids showed up to him. Ill, no one, I came to the last county commissioner's meeting 2 weeks ago. The sheriff has not called me. Darren Brown has not contacted me. I do not want to give me a lawyer, but at this point, they won't even talk to me. They told y'all that they were going to call me. They have my number.
Mr. Chairman, can I speak on
yes,
both of those accounts?
Can.
The sheriff told her to come see her in his office, and as of today, come see the sheriff, Bobby Butler, and as of today when I spoke to him at lunchtime, she has not made contact in the office with him. Spoke with Darren Brown as well. He verbally said in the last meeting 2 weeks ago, Mr. Chairman, that for her to come on that Friday after the board meeting or the following Monday, and to my knowledge, she has not been out there either, as I've checked. That's addressed to that, so that's...
I went out there in Virginia morning, and I needed a lawyer to get my brother stopped. I did go out there. I'm going to go out there again when I'm, like, told to leave.
All right. That's what I want to segue in, and I talked to you earlier today. I called you, correct? Because I was put on notice there may be some issues, and Mr. Brown wanted to talk about them. Legally, they cannot provide, under Florida statute, your brother's run report to you. That's a statutory thing. So there are certain ways to do that, and most of the time, if you have some sort of cause of action, it will require an attorney to go through that process and find a way to get those records properly subpoenaed. That's the reason I wanted to be here during your discussion. Mr. Brown, is there anything? Am I wrong in that?
Yes, sir. That is absolutely correct. I'm not sure.
And what I'm following here, for the record, is Florida Statute 456.057. And that refers to, in that chapter, the exceptions to that would be a workers' comp claim, and this was not a workers' comp claim, which is found in Section 440.13 of our statute. So, Darren, or the county, as a cannot provide those records to you on your brother. I know it seems like, I know your argument over there trying to hide something, trying to conceal something. I can't answer that to be the case. I don't believe that to be the case whatsoever. But going out there and trying to get the records yourself, it's illegal to get to. I'm just saying that as the county attorney representative. So that's the reason I wanted to be here for that, because that was my understanding of what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I have a lot of things I want to talk about, especially how we were supposed to fix this and work on it and hopefully start some new protocols for people that are organ donors that we don't call anybody in the street. However, that's fine. Are you going to be at your office tomorrow, Dan? When can I come?
After April 3rd.
So after April 3rd or 4th. Okay, I'll call you and I'll write that down, okay? And then I'll call Darby and because I made sure I gave him my number. I literally ate lunch with him that day after I left here and gave him my number, and he told me to call me. I don't remember what was said because my brother just died by my EMS brothers and sisters. All right. But I guess I have nothing else.
Darren, is that still an ongoing investigation into the incident there, or? I don't know what you can elaborate or not elaborate on.
I can't answer as to whether FHP is done with that investigation. That's a homicide investigation. Whenever someone sees during a traffic accident, FHP conducts that investigation. As far as our end, I have already submitted all the reports to my medical director, but some of the gentlemen that could actually do the reviews of those reports involved in the call, and I felt that it needed to go somewhere else. Our medical director reviewed the report, and he compared it to all of our policies that he himself puts in place. And he said that everything was handled before he was placed on. There was no error found. I hope that answers your question.
Is that Dr. J?
No, not Dr. J. He's retired.
Thank God.
The reason I asked that, I was wondering if anyone had reached out to Mr. Pridgen on what happened at that.
Not sure.
Wayne
Christian
was talking to my brother. My brother was talking to him.
Yep.
I don't do those investigations. That's for the secret homicide agent.
Well,
if you have more information, I need to know.
Well, the reason I bring that up, at the funeral, the man doing the funeral, stated that Mr. Pridgen asked someone at the scene about Frank Enfinger. They informed him that he was dead. He looked over and told him that the man was moving. This happened at the funeral now. He went to Frank, picked up his hand, and asked him, did he know the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, yes, he's my Lord and Savior, and took his last breath.
I can't verify.
And I was just wondering, has anyone checked into the glass of that? Because it's eating me alive, man.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
And that was stated in the funeral, the man doing the service did that at the podium.
That was my Uncle Dolan Smith, and he called him and said, "Get my stuff with him."
Yes, sir.
Thank you, dear.
Miss Sammy.
Hey, don't, did any board have any questions of me or concern?
But she did. She had to get home. She was sick this afternoon. She just wanted to thank everyone who worked diligently on the Van Dyles Park to get it ready for the festival last weekend. She wanted to thank the cops for their assistance, volunteers, vendors, visitors for making it a success, and a special thanks to Ms. Jane Connors for coordinating the event down in the town of Swanee. She said thank the board for being there as a representative as well. I thought she had.
That's all. Mr. Steve.
All right.
Dwayne, you got anything?
I have some stuff that I'd like to cover under my stuff.
Okay. Well, Dwayne Chauncey.
He's not even.
Michael Latt, he's not.
No, sir.
Let me say something on that. I talked to the preacher today, this afternoon before the board meeting. He's going through a lot. His wife's in the hospital. I don't know what all this. I don't want to say too much either. But she's in pretty foul shape, and it's taking a big toll on him. And they was talking about admitting him in the hospital also.
He has health concerns as well.
Right. So y'all be in much prayer for preaching.
I'll find out
and update all the commissioners tomorrow on his status and his wife's status.
Thank you.
One more thing on the solid waste. Did y'all, the metal's still piling. Did y'all get the contract?
I'm glad you brought that up. Because I got a call just before the meeting, and I actually sent it to Dwayne, and I actually said something to WC about it. Them boys was out there at 2 o'clock in the morning gathering metal and sorting. They were waking people up, running tractors and doing this. So I know for a fact they're trying. So there was 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get them roll-off sites clean this morning, this past morning.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so hopefully that's a good update for you.
Yes, sir. I get, you don't know how many calls I get a day on that level.
Oh, I was glad to take that complaint about a tractor running at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And I might add to that, they've been 4 days and nights moving their equipment back from North Georgia.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't care what time you get it back, you get the word.
And they must be them.
I didn't mean to go right on down there in the middle of the night, but I meant the next day, but...
Well, if you told me that, that's what I would have took it to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right here. Mr. Leon. Mr. Barron.
The only thing I have for y'all tonight is to let you know that the last 2 weeks we all authorized the pay raise. We had to fill all five permits.
Right. Cool. Thank you. Tell them we appreciate them coming home.
Mr. Scott.
I don't really have much. Just want to let y'all know the internet stuff is moving forward. Everything's in time. We're just waiting on them to start construction.
Thank you, Scott. Ms. Gail. Ms. Holly. Is Ms. Holly here? She's probably there, ain't she?
Yeah,
Ms. Angie.
Thank you.
Mr.
Dwayne.
Yes, sir, Mr. I need to have about a 3-minute break.
Okay, sure.
You know?
Recess.
I got the pizza. That looks right.
Thank you.
Already done mine.
On this right here,
I'm good to have a good 5 weeks.
Earn your money.
I have. I haven't seen them that good. I don't know.
I can't read mouth.
I always called him up.
You got some turkey liver? Okay. Me and Dwayne does too.
Everybody ready to get back at it? Okay. Back door. Mr. Dwayne.
Yes, sir. I'd like to start out tonight, Mr. Chairman, on action item number one, board approval to execute a grant agreement with FDOT for the Cross City Airport rehab of Taxiway 8. Associated with Taxiway 8 is lighting and configuration of geometry in the amount of $180,000. This is in conjunction with an already existing federal grant. The board has already approved this past year. And for us, we had a 10% match on that. So our 10% match will be covered by DOT and not the county too.
Motion.
Second. All in favor? Motion carried.
To back that up, I need board approval for the resolution 2022-47 in support of the Cross City Airport rehab of Taxiway 8.
Motion.
Second. All in favor? Motion carried.
While we're speaking about the airport, I need board approval to execute land lease agreements and amendments on the airport property pending the attorney review for the following leases: Red Roof Aviation, Alexa Wheeler, and the Fulford Haley's. And that'll be a contract amendment.
You want to do all them together?
Do it all together, and then pending the attorney's review, I'll have the chairman or vice chair sign the agreement. Obviously, accept the agreement.
Second.
All
right.
Thank you. Number four. Board approval to execute the notice of award to Anderson Columbia for the courthouse parking lot construction in the amount of
$73,388.97. Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I need board approval to execute the contract agreement with Anderson Columbia for the courthouse parking lot construction in the amount of
$73,388.97. Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Number six, request board approval to move forward with the quotes that we had prepared and that's presented today for the John Deere 350 excavator for approximately $12,000. We've gotten three quotes, John Deere and a couple of the other ones. My recommendation is to go with the John Deere parts to have one of our local contractors to do the work for repair on. No, sir, this is for a motor rebuild. It's in your packet. It's the old excavator. Y'all looked at a couple different options. My recommendation is to go with this.
This is going to be approximately $12,000.
Motion. All in favor? Motion carried.
Who did the motion on it?
I did.
Okay, thank you. I need board approval to execute amendment number one to the Cross City Flood Improvements Route Change Middle School contract with the Swan Air Water Management District for cost share assistance. The budget was $200,000, and as we talked about, the contractors had the bids come in over, so we went back to Water Management, and they have increased that to $240,000. The county providing $22,000 of in-kind service. So I would, and also request to extend the contract to April 1, 2023.
That's enough to cover the whole project.
It is, yes, sir.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Number eight, request board approval to move forward with a clean out of the canal system from Southeast 557th Street, which is Kirby Road, to Southeast 203 Avenue, which is Road 30, based off of the Stormwater Task Force recommendations.
I'm going to stick on that right there real quick.
This is. Everybody, I hope, knows where this is at. It's right off the Kirby Road going all the way to Road 30. The Stormwater Task Force has already went across that field and cleaned that out. So this is the only request that we have not fulfilled what the Stormwater Task Force wanted to do. And I think it's much needed. And talked to Dwayne Hutch, Paul, today or this morning, and Hutch seems like he could move on it pretty quick. So I'm going to make a motion to do this.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Action item number 9, request board approval to proceed with the sale of the following properties to the highest bidder as presented. The total of the two sales is going to be $41,026.45, and the bids of these two properties was additional from those 9 previously submitted at the last board meeting. You can see the total amounts and how it played out there.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
On those funds, I'll ask our chairman to make remarks.
They are not earmarked and going to the general fund for just to make sure. No, not motors. We'll have it to cover any kind of cost.
$12,000.
I'm speaking on behalf of Ms. Jackie tonight. Ms. Brenda, if you want to echo that, it will be in general fund to cover any deficit.
Motor. I think we'll rent one of those back trucks or something to try to clean out these pipes going on these crossroads. But God, I rode in the Oaks area, and the water's coming back, and there's over, I'm not talking about driveway pipes, I'm talking about pipes going on under county roads. I carried Dwayne, saved him some of them yesterday.
Yes, sir.
I counted over 22 cross drains. They're still plugged to this date.
Why don't we get a thing together, see if we can get a quote for one?
I can reach out and try to get a quote.
Yeah.
A vac truck?
No, I mean, then when they clean out the storm drains, it's got that old thing that's in front of it. It sucks. Mine can suck, Sam, but I can't get it out of it. Those things are designed. And the back of it's got a hatch. The whole thing opens and lifts and dumps all that dirt out of it. It
gotcha.
Sucks out of storm drains. I think that we borrowed one from DOT to clean storm drains in town.
No, they
I remember
did.
Correctly.
They own
across Tanacross City did it with.
But, I mean, they worked on some other stuff, too, while they had it.
I'll get
I remember right.
Quit on it, Mr. Chairman. I'll get a quit. Just for information items, we did receive confirmation last week of the funding request has been approved by the House and Senate for all of our appropriations, delegations that we've submitted applications that y'all worked hard on in Tallahassee over the past 4 months. But now we're awaiting the final approval from the governor in his office, and I'm being told as of May 6th afternoon from the governor's office, the same guy that rode around with Commissioner Stevenson and myself.
I spoke to him on Tuesday.
That he said it'd be about 14 days before the governor actually signed it. They're working on some other mapping issues with the senators and House of Representatives. But so what got did get approved in session was the Old Town Fire Station, the EOC Fire Station Addition, and the Dixie County Flood Mitigation monies. So at full amounts.
And the Town of Cross City or the
Horseshoe's water tower, yeah,
right.
But that was they put in for that
right.
But yes, Horseshoe Beach received them as well. And just wanted to note here, as Commissioner Stevenson has noted here, during the rain event this last week from March the 9th to March the 12th, we received over 10 inches for the majority of Dixie County, and we received an additional 3 to 4 inches 2 days after. So now we're looking at 12 to 15 inches. The courthouse flooring is complete, and the painting should be complete by the end of next week. Looks really nice. All the employees, all the ladies, all the workers in the courthouse has been very thankful and appreciative. It looks nice. So they appreciate the board for moving forward with that. You heard Mr. Bishop speak on the fact that we're kind of putting on hold for the courthouse renovation as far as because of materials. And that's all I have.
Can you kind of give a brief update? We met today on the McGriff Pass stuff. You want to give an update on that, what we're doing, and because at the end of the day, it's informational items that will come back before the board.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, we met today with a group of people who have worked on this over the past 7 years that I've been with the county. McGriff Channel, there had been some monies allocated by Army Corps of Engineers, and we could not move forward with receiving that money due to some laws or some contingencies that you have to meet an economic study. And in the town of Suwanee there in the McGriff Pass Channel, the study that had been submitted, I guess, years back, not up to date, and as far as the numbers of what was scheduled that the Army Corps had needed, we fell short of meeting that goal. So we're working with Congressman Neil Dunn and his office and his team to try to get that requirement either dismissed or to either come up with a study to show up-to-date numbers to meet that goal. And but the problem is one of the quotes we had received on it was $65,000 initial cost to do an economic study. So we're looking at some of our partners to help do that.
We actually today, Lance Avery is one. He called me this afternoon, and he's got an economic person in South Carolina. He reached out today and getting another quote from them. And then the Mr. Parrish that was at our North Florida economic meeting we went to the other day, he's supposed to reach out to him first part of the week. He's on vacation, but he's going to reach out to him to try to get us some numbers there also.
For an economic study.
For FSU, yep. Yes.
Yes, sir.
There is some active work on that.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman, unless you have something for me.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you. Ms. Barber.
I don't have anything other than I hope y'all will take a minute and walk through the courthouse. And it really gave it a facelift and looked a lot better. Much needed.
Young Commissioner Adam, Mr. James, got anything besides?
Just please keep preachers, family in your prayers. I mean, he's a...
Absolutely.
He needs a lot of prayers right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Davis.
They keep preaching your prayers and appreciate everybody's time to work with us. Just for y'all's information, I've been doing a lot of driving since we got all the rain, checking water levels in the water management area, looking at different things right now. The drains going out to McCall Chapel, I have not been on the other side from Steen Action, but those are draining well. But with that being said, Terry Dwayne up there yesterday, that road that kind of is a dam between that swamp and coming to us, as I did in that demonstration, how we got that inland tsunami, so to speak, when they got a bunch of rain up there. Right now, that road's teetering on an inch and a half. So basically, guys, what that means, if they get 10 inches of rain up there again, some of us going to go outside, but we're probably going to get 6 or 7 inches cheating coming to us again. So pray for no more rain and hope these oak trees go to sucking. The average oak tree's going to draw 300 gallons of water a day. So, I mean, that's helping a lot. But if it continues, these fronts keep coming, we may be in a bad way again in a very short time. That's all I got.
No. I don't have a lot. I just want to apologize to everybody for, I mean, I was really not in real good shape when I came in today. I've been taking medicine for pneumonia for 3 days now, and I had a truck breakdown today, and I was up out of that semi pulling her in out from under it at 3 o'clock. Until I got bear caught, and I had to go in the house and lay down, and I was just, if a lot of you guys know what bear caught means, and when you get bear caught, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. So I'm feeling much better now, but thank y'all for your patience. And I do want everybody to pray for Preacher and his wife. Now I got three more people here. Tri-County, Julius Hatcher.
Thank you, Commissioners. Julius Hackett, CEO of Tri-County Electric Co-op. We are headquartered in Madison, but we have a service territory in Madison, Jefferson, Taylor, and then we serve the western part of Dixie County. And we've been hearing for the last couple of years the challenge of having quality internet service in our service territory. And we just felt strongly that the electric co-ops are well prepared to address the lack of solid high-speed internet in our service territory. So we have moved forward with contracts to install these fiber networks. We are going to expand fiber networks in those areas that I mentioned, about 2,200 miles of fiber. Going to be an expensive project, it's capital intensive, but it's going to be aggressive. What we are going to need is you all's support in pushing forward with grant funds. At the federal level, there are $65 billion allocated to high-speed internet for the whole nation. We expect that there's at least $1 billion, if not a little more than that, that's going to be earmarked for Florida. And those dollars, the way we understand it today, is going to be pushed to the counties, and the counties will have the flexibility to assign those dollars where they seem fit. So we are looking, since we serve the western part of Dixie County, we would like to push for our pro rata share of those funds. But again, we just like to just give you guys a...
I appreciate y'all doing all that. I'm behind you. What the question is that I want to ask is, I mean, y'all doing that with grant funding. What is y'all's projected cost that y'all going to charge the customer once all this is installed with taxpayer funds?
The cost of our project for just the Tri-County footprint is about $65 million. So the way we are looking at installing this project, it is going to require a portion of grant funding so that we can protect the bottom line. But we are looking at grant fund opportunities in that $35 million area, 25 to $35 million. And then what we expect, that $65 million, is actually based on the take rate of about 30%. So every 10 homes that we pass, we're expecting at a minimum that at least 3 households would attach. But we expect that's based on the feasibility study, but we expect that the numbers will be higher.
The man they tied up with, I went to Stark over there to a meeting, and he presumed it, and I was blown away with it. And I actually tried to explain some of it in a board meeting one time, and I messed it up. But we just had that meeting over at Central Florida, and I commend y'all for doing what y'all doing there. I was going to ask that question. What did it? Can you tell y'all's investment as a co-op? That was a heck of a chunk of cheese about all of.
Yes. But,
and I commend y'all for doing that.
Thank you for that. But we do expect, with the types of grant funding that's going to flow, that by the time we put in our share of the project, along with the grant funds, that it will definitely protect the electric side of the business.
I was trying to remember, because Jody's question was rates, and the man did present some rates, and for the life of me, I can't remember his rating, but it wasn't that bad, honestly. It was 40-50 bucks.
Over 100 megabits per second?
Yes.
We're looking at $49.
Right.
At 1 gig, we're looking at about $79. Or 2 gigs, we're looking at $99.
And just to be clear, the co-op still going to be spending $40 million plus dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Out of their pocket. Okay.
The reason I ask that is, I mean, like on the electric side, say if that subdivision that they was talking about there goes forth, and I bought the very last lot. Typically in the past...
We will be connected.
I understand that. But, say, if I bought the last lot on Central Florida Electric and there's no lines in there, I got to pay for all of it to come to me. Because they bring the power to me, and then everybody else that moves in, they just connect. Because I'm the first guy in, and I chose to bought in the back. To get away from everybody, I have to build that half of my line on my dime.
But you mentioned Central Florida. I think you happen to be in the audience.
Trucking, so
both co-ops are very interested in helping to solve this digital divide.
I just didn't want to somebody to buy it, think I had to get internet. It's going to cost him $600 a month, and the guy down the road, he's only paying $49 is what I'm trying to see how.
The way we are planning for this network, that regardless of where you're located, no matter how far you are away from the main road, that your price, if it's 100 megabits per second, will be at $49 just as well as someone who's 2 miles away.
Thank you, sir.
And Mr. Vice Chair, if you don't mind me just tagging on, I'm not here to talk about that other subject. We are only a number of months behind Tri-County in our analysis. Our numbers, because we are more in the 4,000-mile build, are a little bit larger in scope and size, but we, our board at the end of this month, will hear a little bit more information, and hopefully we can try to wrestle it down. Just a little bit more of a daunting task. We have similar packages that we were planning to do in that same price range if we were to do it. But again, it's a big undertaking. Grant dollars are going to be key, and ultimately it's going to have a reasonably sharp impact on overall equity ratios, some key indicators that the co-op would use for the, you know, for almost a decade. So, but it's a role we think we probably should play. We want to do it. We just want to make sure we're making the right decision. So,
not done it earlier, we wouldn't have to go to court this morning.
Very possibly. So anyway, that court's settlement was done in early December, so everything down in the town of Suwannee is all good. And also, I wanted to mention one other thing. I'm the president of Friends of Children of North Central Florida. When Ms. Christy King was talking about the Guardian Ad Litem program, I was fully aware that there are no foster families currently. My son and daughter-in-law were actually thinking about signing up for the most recent upcoming Pride class. But I will get with Judge Johnson, and we fundraise for ultimately the Florida Baptist Children's Home, but there may be some ways to try to incentivize families to, whether it's in a small mini campus or otherwise, to get involved and meet this need for these kids that are getting sent out of county.
Thank you, Mr. George.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I want to touch from the administration side and representing the Board of County Commissioners for both of these groups as well. We have started with Ms. Carol West, Scott Pendarvis, and a few others. We started looking at this broadband. We understand and know that the money's coming. I will be bringing forth with Ms. Carol some packages for us to look at. That way we, because just like you said, the way it's tailored and the way I understand it, the board or the county will have to submit the applications for the money. Then the board will make the decision on how to allocate it. It'll be very similar to the ARPA monies. There'll be a lot of regulations, but from my understanding and what I've heard about it from a couple presentations that I've been involved with, Mr. Chairman, is that it would be tailored to the infrastructure for these type of bills. So there will be a few restrictions on it. We can't just spend it on a lot of other stuff. It'll have to be tailored to broadband initiative for the rural counties. So we are on that. We are on other counties, but we are ahead of some others as well. So we'll be bringing more information, having meetings with both of these teams as we move forward.
Well, I'd like to echo the fact that high speed we need. I walk in my house almost every evening, stop by the fridge and get me a Pepsi. Walk on in, sit down on the edge of the bed to take my shoes off, and while I'm drinking my Pepsi, I watch myself walk in the door. So, I can't get no bad guys, but they got me first.
So if you see somebody outside with a gun, you dive it under something.
Every corner in my house has a loaded gun. Literally.
I would have said that.
Come in that door, you asking for it. Okay.
Well, I'm going to be on you before you know it.
One of my favorite sister-in-laws, Barbara Edwards. You come in, Roberts.
I'm going to talk to you. You remember 2 weeks ago when I called you about my neighbors throwing their household garbage in
their
yard? Okay.
I took pictures of it and notified.
Okay, well, you told me you was going to talk to Blaine County and see what y'all could do. You never got back with me.
I apologize for that. I thought I had got with Steve. I thought Steve had got with you, and I didn't follow that up.
See, I done had talked to Steve. He's done all he can do.
Well, what? One more thing, though. I called the health department last week. They are starting an investigation on that house. It's more impressive.
Okay. They have thrown more garbage out by that door. Furniture. I've got pictures on my phone. I got COPD and I've got health problems. I can't even walk out in my yard without having this smell garbage. That garbage is 70 foot from my well.
Yes, ma'am.
And she just keeps slinging it out there like it's nothing.
Yes, ma'am.
A year's worth of household garbage. Come on now.
Well, I notified Steve. I notified your commissioner, which is Jamie Story. My line is actually on the other side of that highway. But when you called, I took it upon myself to go and do my due diligence. And the only thing I didn't do is get back with you, but there's been some deaths and different things that happened, and that has, sad to say, has not been my priority. From the time frame that I was there, there's a bunch of things that happened in between. But I did do my due diligence and notified Mr. Freeman that day, sent him those photos that I took. And I think I mentioned it in the way.
You made mention of trash. No, I didn't know.
I mean, when I did not get back with you, I do apologize. But
something's got to be done.
Mr. If nothing ain't done, I'm going over somebody's head until something is done. I recommend you calling the health department to put a little more pressure, because I mean, I made the phone call. They're going to do an investigation. But you do it also as the neighbor. You're the one that has to.
On that, Steve, aren't they a little bit different rules, because that is a rental property? They don't own that.
There's nothing we can do to the person in that house. We have to go back to the
house. I mean, it shouldn't really matter if they are just renting it. They should not be able to throw their house off.
I understand that.
In the yard. You know what I mean? That is so
disgusting. It's so frustrating for us as a board. There's things we want to do, but legally I can't do. I'd love to go over there and jerk them out of the house and take the dog 3 miles down the road.
We can't do that. They don't even pay for it there. We own our own place. We pay taxes on that place for 30 years. I mean, it's just, I've had enough.
Barbara, I promise you we'll do everything we can. But we can't go make them people do nothing.
I know.
You know.
I don't talk to Steve. And he told me he could not make them clean that.
And
he come on for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
It's
we got cases 3 years old here. We're still trying to get them to do it.
They had the garbage. This is what upset me when I got there and I'm taking the pictures. The garbage was scattered all over the front. They bagged the garbage. Instead of hauling it stuff, they stacked it on the end of the house. They took the time to bag it.
But they won't haul it off.
But they didn't carry it to the dump, which ain't more than 2 miles from that location as the rock pit roller site there.
Right.
Only thing I can do is if you tell them if they are willing, I'll donate a trailer to drag up there for them to fill up. And we'll haul it to the dump.
They won't do it.
Like I said, I've notified Jamie and Steve that Freddy ain't in my district, but I will do what I can. If you can talk to them, I'll put a trailer there if they'll fill it all.
They won't do it.
I think.
It'll eventually get taken care of, but I'm telling y'all, it ain't no overnight thing. I wish it was. And I know y'all been dealing with it a long time. But
I understand that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I feel your pain.
All right. Well,
thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Miss Mary.
First thing, I don't want to hear about the police school, and I don't want to hear about the hospital. Okay? I called you guys 2 years I didn't call. Okay? When my yacht started puddling after the rain. Here's the pictures of the puddles. Okay? I also called you and told you about the canal, which is what I'm going to call it. The neighbor dug down the side of his property and across the back. I also told you about the neighbor taking the dirt, pushing it into the water, pushing the water to me. As of 5 o'clock today, this is what my property looks like. I own 2.5 acres, an acre and a half is underwater. And it's still coming up. I'm tired. I'm stressed. I'm depressed. I got $100,000 invested in this property. 160 something. I have no more money. I understand about the dirt that can't go to the residents because of the resident and somebody else. Okay? I don't know where else to go. All I can pray for now, hopefully the water will come up higher and come in my house. Maybe I'll drown. Maybe I'll survive. But at least if the water comes in my house will be a total loss, and I'll be able to collect my insurance. I won't be coming to any more meetings because all I get is what down. Have a good night.
Miss Mary, I went to your house today and spent 2 hours, an hour or so.
I've had enough. I can't take any more.
The water that's bleeding is coming from the street, not from your neighbor.
My neighbor is completely dry.
It's
surrounded.
When you take my transit over, your property is 12 inches lower than your neighbor. I'm sorry.
You were supposed to do that 2 days ago. Another broken promise.
Yeah, well, ain't enough hours in the day. Where was you at 10 o'clock last night when I was coming back from an Asilla meeting? That's why I didn't make it there yesterday, but I was there this morning. Thank you very much. I went to the lady, Mark, and shot that property. The neighbor, the lowest point of his property is 6 inches higher than the highest point of her property on that side.
I was there Monday.
She was stating that him digging the dirt on his property is flooding her. And I tried to explain to her if he was bringing in fuel and building it up, that might be possible. When he's displacing dirt on his own land, he's still going to hold the same amount of gallons. And it doesn't matter if he dug or didn't dig, if his property is 6 inches on the lowest side, higher than her highest part. And she's in a hole there. It's just... I think there's no way to
do that. Comments and concerns? I need a motion to adjourn.
I know that y'all ain't gonna see my meme, but that high speed stuff, they can't get all.